Pripyat in the Ukraine is a place unlike anywhere else I've been. It's a place of utter despair. On the face of it, it seems quite a pleasant town, with avenues, hotels, a square, a hospital with fairground rides, a central post office, a railway station. It has several schools and swimming pools, cafes and bars, a restaurant by the river, shops, supermarkets and hairdressers, a theatre and a cinema, a dance hall, gymnasiums and a football stadium with an athletics track. It has all the amenities that we humans have brought into existence to give us a content and comfortable life, all the elements of our homemade habitat. Surrounding the town's cultural and commercial centre are the apartments. There are 160 towers built at specified angles to a well-considered grid of roads. Each apartment has its own balcony. Each tower has its own laundry. The tallest towers reach almost 20 stories high, and each is crowned with a giant iron hammer and sickle, the emblem of the town's creators. Pripyat was built by the Soviet Union in one busy period of construction in the 1970s. It was the designed, perfect home for almost 50,000 people, a modernist utopia to suit the very best engineers and scientists in the Eastern Bloc, together with their young families. Amateur film footage from the early 1980s shows them smiling, mingling, and pushing prams on the wide boulevards, taking ballet classes, swimming in the Olympic-sized pool, and boating on the river. Yet no one lives in Pripyat today. The walls are crumbling, its windows are broken, its lintels are collapsing. I have to watch my step as I explore its dark, empty buildings. Chairs lie on their backs in the hairdressing salons, surrounded by dusty curlers and broken mirrors. Fluorescent tubes hang down from the supermarket ceiling. The parquet floor of the town hall is ripped up and scattered down the length of a grand marble staircase. Exercise books litter the floors of schoolrooms, neat Cyrillic handwriting scoring their pages in blue ink. I find the pools emptied. The seats of sofas in the apartments have dropped to the floor. The beds are rotten. Almost everything is motionless, paused. If something is stirred by a gust of wind, it startles me. With each new doorway you enter, the lack of people becomes more and more preoccupying. Their absence is the truth that is most present. I visited other post-human towns, Pompeii, Angkor Wat, Machu Picchu, but here the normality of the place forces your attention on the abnormality of its abandonment. Its structures and accoutrements are so familiar that you know their disuse cannot simply be due to the passing of ages. Pripyat is a place of utter despair because everything here, from the notice boards that are no longer looked at, to the discarded slide rules in the science classroom, to the shattered piano in the cafe, is a monument to the capacity of humankind to lose everything it needs and everything it treasures. We humans, alone on Earth, are powerful enough to create worlds and then to destroy them. On the 26th of April, 1986, reactor number 4 of the nearby Vladimir Ilyich Lenin nuclear power plant, known to everyone today as Chernobyl, exploded. The explosion was the result of bad planning and human error. The design of Chernobyl's reactors had flaws. The operating staff were not aware of these and, in addition, were careless in their work. Chernobyl exploded because of mistakes, the most human explanation of all.